all this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
WCCW number 69, and I'm with Kelly and Johnny. Kelly, how you doing?
69
is divine.
Yes, we are adults here. Yeah, but we're gonna make 69 jokes.
Yes.
Kelly, you doing okay? 69
and 69. Yeah, I'm doing great, man.
Johnny Sorrow, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing better now.
Hell yeah, 69 maybe. Chris Adams debuting, and we get an opening promo from him. Not how I debut Adams, and he's not known for a promo.
Horrible start.
But what do you think? Maybe I'm wrong, Johnny. What do you think?
Okay. It's terrible, but it's so shockingly different than anything on this or any TV, but especially on this TV. Chris Adams eventually becomes a very good promo. He's not really a bad promo here. He just talks like he's from, you know, the Oliver Twist movie. He's very high-pitched, and he's young. He's so young. I forgot how young he was at this time. And he's got a crew cut, which makes
ugly
him
haircut, yeah.
Horrible hair.
And he says, I love this. He's like, he's talking about everything he's done. Oh, I've been all over, you know, the world wrestling, and I just want to say, I think that Texas is a beautiful country. <It's>, I know a lot of they've told you that, but no, it's a state. But here's the thing. He's there to catch up with the Mongol. You know,
his old rival.
My old rival. We've traveled the world wrestling. I never managed to face off anywhere. But I finally tracked down the Mongol here in World Class Championship Wrestling. And I'm happy to be here and hope they really like me. And I'm just like, okay. I'm predisposed to like Chris Adams. So I find this funny and charming because I love Chris Adams. But yeah,
you know, Iceman's he debuts with kick-ass music videos, gets really quick squash matches. They're doing a whole different route with Chris Adams because he's like technically a good worker. I'm not like Iceman's that a bad worker, so I don't want people to think that. But Adams is like, you know, a top 100 in the world type worker of all time.
Maybe not at this time, maybe not so much.
But, he's also working John Tom Renesso Jr. to start it off.
Well, of course. You got to work your way up.
In a lengthy exhibition match, pretty much. But what are you first, Kelly? Kelly, what do you think of Chris Adams?
The interview?
Promo.
Well, I mean, I would have said cut. Let's take two on that one. Because, yeah, he calls Texas a beautiful country.
Hey, who's directing this? Ed Wood? Great.
And then he says, I've been all over the country. And then he starts listing off the names of a bunch of countries. And it was just a bunch of flubs. One after the next. And he was nervous, you know, maybe didn't have too many interview.
He's coming over, really, when you think about it. He's coming over from UK, World of Sport.
He'd been in L.A.
It was in Portland, too.
And Portland. Yeah, I think he'd been in the States for a couple of years. But
he was not a top guy where he was getting promo time.
No, L.A. was a near-dead territory. And I, as far as Portland, I'm not familiar with his work there. So, but yeah, I guess.
Good match with Buddy Rose, but who didn't have a good match with Buddy Rose? Right.
It's funny, both him and Iceman were kind of mid-card guys in Portland that weren't being used much. Yeah. Super short haircut, too. Like, it looks like he just lost a hair versus hair match.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And, well, probably in Portland, because that was Buddy's deal, right? Okay. Buddy was always in hair matches, so he probably lost a hair match to Buddy.
Like, I was like, the last time I saw his hair that short, he went blind.
Yeah. No, he must have lost a hair match.
Yeah.
Why would you have a hair cut that short in 1983? So here we go. Adams versus Tom Renesto Jr., formerly Roberto Renesto. He's been gone for a few months, and he's repackaged himself a little bit.
And he finally agreed. He finally agreed. No more red or yellow.
Yes.
Or either that, or he saw that Chris Adams had red and yellow, and they were like, no, you have to not wear red and yellow. Fine. Yeah. You'd change my name then.
Yeah. He got in, or Renesto gets in a fair bit of offense, unfortunately. And yeah, it was a good debut. The end with the Enziguri kick and then the Savat kick to finish him off was nice. Yeah, for a debuting guy, that's fine. It wasn't a super long match or anything either.
It felt a little long to me. Because it's with Renesto.
How dare you, sir?
But I will say, all things considering, with the having to work this match, the opening promo, the super kick got over, and Adams, I thought, had a nice reaction when he got announced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, the crowd, some of them definitely knew who he was. Wasn't total unknown, that's for sure.
Well, he's the babyface presenter. What about you, John? What do you think of this match?
Well, first of all, I'm just excited for Chris Adams. I know it's, again, the same I felt about Iceman. I feel even more about Chris Adams.
He was my favorite wrestler, Ricky Steamboat, in like the early 80s.
Without giving anything away, when he turns fucking heel, it's fucking awesome, and I love him. But first of all, so the new Renesto is announced as being from the Metroplex. He's from the movie theater? Where the fuck is the Metroplex? And fucking
Murphy. That was his day job.
It was his day job.
Obviously.
I refer to as downtown Dallas, too, sometimes.
Okay, there you go. Got it. I'm watching it, I'm like, it's Chris Adams, and I'm excited. But again, like you guys said, it's fucking Renesto, and he's terrible. And Bill Mercer says, well, Chris Adams, he travels the world and travels the ring. What? And then he says this one, this young Chris Adams, he looks like an all-American boy.
Oh, God.
He really does look like an all-American boy, but when you talk to him, he's all English. Like, just like, I'm starting to think maybe Fritz is off camera and yells at him like Vince does in the headphones, and they just go with it, because the way he corrects himself when he says something really fucking stupid makes it sound like someone just yelled at him. And it's all American boy. And then they're doing one of the moves where Renesto's going for something, and Chris Adams, realized it was coming. But you would say he telegraphed a move. Mercer says, "Oh, he telescoped that move, or telegraphed it." And the boy, he sucks. And then the first time, and it wasn't on the super kick, because that's what I call it. I call it the super kick because that Chris Adams super kick was something I'd read about before I ever saw it. But he did some other move leading up to it, which was the very first thigh slap from Chris Adams I've heard. Is the very first one. That's the first world-class Chris Adams thigh slap, and he's the best at it. I never saw him do it. I knew he was doing it. Didn't know how he was doing it. And that filled me with joy, because I'm a huge Chris Adams fan. But and then fucking Mercer goes, "Hail Britannia!" He left, and he left Renesto, and this is a good call. He left Renesto a fallen blob in the ring. I'm like, "Oh, you got that one right, Bill." Because Renesto stinks, but I'm excited that Chris Adams is here. I'm so a fan.
One thing, so Superkick was coined by Adams. That was
I don't know. Was it coined by him, or because that's what it was called?
When I ended up calling it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure. Because I said Savatka, because that was like a term in the 80s for the Superkick, right? Or that was what Jesus, I'm totally blanking now on who used that. Fabulous Ones, Midnight Express, Stan Lane.
Stan Lane.
It was the Savat kick, right?
Yeah, he had Savat
kick. Yeah, yeah. He definitely called the super kick later on.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, then he was very influential. Also, thigh slapping too.
Yeah.
Another major part of being an independent or just any kind of wrestler these days.
Look,
I guess.
Yeah. This way, you look at the independent scene and leading into NXT and stuff like that. Chris Adams fucking brought that to the national attention, to where people have been imitating it ever since. That quick, cool thigh slap and these kicks, and a super kick, you know. And he was it. That's what when we're talking about reading about it. When I first read about him in the aftermags, you know, it was like Chris Adams, and he turned on Kevin Von Erich, and his devastating maneuver is the super kick. And I liked heels, and I was like, that sounds so cool, super kick. It's the first time I ever heard it.
He was the first wrestler I ever saw on television do a tope. Wow. Part of his arsenal regularly, part of his offense was doing topes.
I think he's a wrestler that deserves a bit of re-examination.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he made my top 100 of the pro wrestling only.
No, he's the most, he's always talked about as, you know, Steve Austin's trainer and all that, really, for modern fans.
But, yeah, you hear about Steve Austin's trainer and personal shit about what he was like. But his, just a wrestler and a performer and the influence he brought to wrestling, Chris Adams is tops. You know, he's one of the best ever, I think. I think he was even good. Back when Nitro would dig up anybody and put them on TV, they had Chris Adams on TV. And I would actually, if I was doing my rare flip back and forth bullshit, you know, when my wife put up with her or she wasn't there, if I saw Chris Adams on the other channel, I'd go, oh, Chris Adams, I'm trying to check this out and miss whatever Russo bullshit was on the other channel, you know, because it's Chris Adams. And he was good there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Then we get a Bundy who just lost a Loser Leave Town match, and they're saying how they needed him desperately to fill this state. And then his opponent, Sal Oliveira. Are you kidding me? Kelly, what's going on?
Big Sal. We haven't seen Sal Oliveira's in several months.
Well, that's just it. You know, he's like, you are obligated, Bundy. You know, I know you've lost a 60-day Loser Leave Town match. We're bringing in Sal Alvarez back, and we're bringing him over big, so you have to meet this date? What the fuck? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous, ricoculous, everything.
69!
Yeah, the whole entire purpose of this match was for Chavo to come out, and it means nothing, because Bundy's leaving the fucking territory.
Yeah. I looked it up. He lost the Loser Leaves Town match to Yatsu, April 11th in Fort Worth.
Hmm.
This is his final match in the territory. Besides, he comes back for the June Star Wars for one match. Other than that, this is it for Bundy.
Well, here's the thing. They're announcing it. They're announcing that, you know, even though he's, you know, contractually, you know, has lost a Loser Leave Town match, or however they announce, you don't have to announce that to the crowd. Why are you mentioning it? It's obvious. I don't think they would have been aware of it.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. It is kind of strange.
Well, unless it happened at the Dallas show downtown.
Mm. Well, it was on Fort Worth. No, it was in Fort Worth.
It was on the Fort Worth TV? Then
I don't know if it was on the TV, but it was in Fort Worth where the Loser Leaves Town match happened.
But they said hiatus. He's on a 60-day hiatus.
Yeah. Yeah, but and he does actually come back in 60 days for the June Star Wars show, and then he's gone.
That's weird. A big fail.
They actually did honor the 60-day Loser Leaves Town stipulation.
Look,
so that's
he's like, look, cool. Wait, look, I've already moved on to Minneapolis. You got to come back.
So, of course, this couldn't be a regular squash match. We just can't get one of those. Bundy pulls up Sal multiple times. Ugh. And then it does have a unique finish because the ref just ends it. He just calls for the bell and then basically determines that Sal can't defend himself anymore. And Bundy gets the win in his you know, last match or second last match. Chavo hits the ring and he does hit Bundy with a plancha.
Yeah, that but was awesome. Yeah.
Like Pete said, there's nothing going to come of this.
Maybe they could if they say this on TV, I'll give them all the credit in the world. They could say that King Kong Bundy ran away from Chavo Guerrero or some shit like that. That would work.
That's gonna happen. Yeah, it does give Chavo a bit of a rub, just as Bundy's leaving. But Pete said. Chavo doesn't stick around long anyway, right?
Yeah, he doesn't. And I mean, he gets pissed off
pretty quick.
Because, he's positioned. I mean, if you think about it, there's the three pieces of babyface. There's already the three Von Erichs, Iceman, Adams.
Yeah.
There's Chavo. There's the sixth banana.
No room.
That's Chavo Guerrero, too. He's got
one slot ahead of Mike Bond on the babyface rankings. So that's not good.
Let's face it. Chavo Guerrero is known as a guy who knew how good he was and wouldn't stick around if he wasn't being used and was very vocal about it.
Yeah, and there's no money in being the sixth babyface.
Not at all. But this was a hell of a debut for him, I thought, because this match sucked. But Chavo chases him off and then does the fucking plancha. And I was like, oh, that's fucking awesome. You know, that's a hell of a way to debut a new guy.
Yeah. But that leads us into a Chavo promo, which, you know, what's going on, John?
Well, first of all, Monica, she says, Chavo certainly showed us he can handle himself in a hard situation. And she's talking to Chavo, and her eyes are just looking over at the cue cards. And Chavo just cuts a cool, fired up baby face. I'm here, and when I see stuff like this, this is a sport, you know, and if you hurt a guy, you know, that's just taking it too far, that, you know, atypical, you know, babyface promo for this situation, you know. But it was fine, you know. I was more just thinking about, like, oh, it was a hell of a debut, and yeah, that's the promo you cut.
I thought it was a good debut too, and the promo was solid.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Kelly? What are you seeing on this?
Yeah, solid promo. He called out all the heels in the territory, basically. And we got to see more of Monica Hunter's great interviewing skills.
Oh boy, yeah. That's why I couldn't write any notes. I was just staring. I was staring at Monica Hunter, going, "I still don't fucking get it. Why? I don't understand."
And then we get Akbar Mongol interview, and Akbar came to get Mongol over and talks about his damn scary haircut.
Look at this hair. Look at this hair. Only the most elite of their warriors have this haircut. What are you talking about? This is awful.
Yeah, it's just bad. I mean, I like Akbar, but he can do nothing here to save this. This is just terrible shit.
You know what? Did you ever think... This might be the first time this has ever been said. I can't wait for the missing link to get here.
There we go.
I can't. That's the devastation incorporated I remember
Yep.
Missing
and I can't wait for the Super D's at this point.
Yeah, sure.
What about you, Kelly? What are you seeing on this promo?
Oh, yeah, no, there's not. Johnny covered it. Let's move on.
Then we get Cabal, and I thought it was a great decision for him to come through the side of the building versus Bill Ratke.
Ratke.
With and he's with Hussein.
Yo, this is how you earn. This is how you earn your way into my wonderful corporation, Bill Ratke. You just gotta beat Kamala. You know what? Oh my God, it's hilarious.
But I'll tell you, Kamala had a buzz about it as he entered the arena.
Oh,
you know?
Totally.
What did we get?
Johnny. I mean, Kelly.
What were you gonna say, Johnny?
Real quick, what else did we get, guys? We got music for the first time. We got the Kamala music.
Yes.
Every other bit of music has just been edited out. They had the jungle fucking music, and he's coming in the wrong goddamn door to jungle music. I was like, fuck yeah! If I was a kid in that crowd, I'd be transfixed on Kamala.
Yeah.
And I've always said it. I always thought Kamala was one of the most underrated draws in the early 80s.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in the mid 80s with Hogan or 80.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm talking
86, 87.
He started out like with, he drew well with Lawler, drew well here. He drew with Devon Erichs. He drew money in Mid South against JYD and Dick Murdoch. And then he drew money with Hogan and Andre in New York. I mean,
and I thought, and like I've said before, I thought he was great. I thought he was fucking great because he had a role to play. Whatever you may think of that role, he had a role to play, and he played it better than anyone else could. And in my eyes, that makes you a great fucking professional wrestler.
Yeah, it makes you a great worker. And he knew how to work the gimmick. It's kind of... not a lot of people could do what he did, and
look at all the imitations. Look at all the imitations.
Yeah,
there's so many imitations, and they all sucked because they're not fucking. They're not Kamala.
Yep, he was original. He knew it. I mean, like even in this match, the reaction to the belly slap was huge.
Amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, everything. He didn't do a whole lot in the ring, but what he did was awesome and believable, and everything worked into the gimmick. It was all about the gimmick, working the gimmick, and he made people believe in his gimmick. Kind of like Abby in a way, totally different workers, but he made people believe in the gimmick.
He was so immersed in the gimmick that you couldn't believe that he wasn't Kamala. Like, you couldn't believe that he was actually someone who could speak English and wasn't this savage. You know, when I was a kid watching this, I was pretty sure a lot of this wasn't on the up and up, but I was pretty sure that Kamala was legit. And that's the mark of great pro wrestling.
Yeah.
He made you believe.
Made you suspend your disbelief.
He couldn't. I couldn't picture him as anything but Kamala. He had to be this savage. I love Kamala. I've always been a fan. The music. I don't know if it was his WWF music. It was hard to tell. It was kind of low. It wasn't very loud.
So I was wondering. I was like, is this the actual music? And they're like, we can leave this in.
Yeah, maybe. Copyright.
We can leave this in. Or someone doing the production went, you know what? Fuck it. I'm putting in the Kamala music.
But it's true. It's the first music that's actually slipped through. Pete mentioned the crowd being in awe of Kamala. That was cool to see.
Except for the two chicks who were sitting there drinking, all fucked up. And he walked right by. And they just looked at him like, just two teenage girls go, what in the fuck is this? Like, they don't know what they walked into.
Right. Like,
everyone else didn't know what to. The kids were shook by it. But they were in awe. They weren't running away. They were just frozen.
Because
they'd never seen anything like it.
No. Yeah. Everyone's everyone was fixated on Kamala. It was really cool to see that reaction, because this was his debut. Mm-hmm. Really cool moment. And what a match this was for so many different reasons. Bill Rathke. Wow. Hussein, wow, what an impressive new charge. We're ragging on Akbar for having the Mongol. Well, Jesus. Hussein's pulling out Bill Rathke, who I looked up on wrestling data, and he's a pure jobber, folks. You can't click on his name. There's no info on this man. Who knows who he was?
Yeah, don't get tricked by his hat with the feather in it.
He did have a nice hat. He did have a nice hat.
He did.
But he probably spent way too much money on. And
this is my big chance.
This is my TV hat.
You know, they say, man, when you get your big chance on TV, you should spend some money on yourself. Make yourself look good. I'm going to get this hat. This is my big chance to make it in the pro wrestling business. Boy.
Oh my God. Now let's get to the great Bill Mercer and his comments. We didn't mention this at the beginning. He was talking about Terry Gordy, and did he actually call Gordy the oldest of the Freebirds? Did you guys hear that? I don't know if he did.
He might have, and we'll get to it at another time.
Yeah, it comes up again.
But they keep bringing up the Terry Gordy. Kevin brings it up.
Yeah.
In the promo, he's like, he's the older brother.
And I thought to myself,
wait a minute. I know they both started young, but Terry was, what, 15? And definitely Hayes is older than Terry. So
Buddy's like 10 years and older or more than both.
Well, the first time he said it, he was only talking about the two of them. It was before Buddy got there. But even then, yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever.
No.
Do people really think Terry Gordy looks older than Michael Hayes at this point?
I don't know. But he was about 2 or 3 years younger than Michael Hayes, actually. Anyway, so for this one, we'll have now the forever classic line of Bill Mercer calling Friday Kamala's handler Frank.
Frank.
And then, like Johnny hypothesized, I think someone got in his ear because he corrects himself pretty right quickly away after that. Yeah, and refers to him as Friday.
Right. Frank.
But, oh, I had to rewind and watch that back. Like, almost did like a spit take when he called him Frank. But that's great.
It's a pretty awesome segment.
Anyway, yeah, like, this was a great squash, too, because it was quick and over. It wasn't a long squash. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Pete, I'm blathering on. Kamala's awesome. He's in the territory. And I'm happy.
Yeah, then we get a big Kevin Von Erich sit-down interview. And we kind of see how he's kind of jealous of Terry in a way. I mean, he doesn't come across. A little bit. But yeah, it's like he doesn't know he's not the uncrowned champion. Yeah. But he knows he can beat Ric Flair.
Right.
Tell us about it, Kelly. I mean, Johnny.
Okay, well, real quick. Got to go back real quick because Bill Mercer also said this because when he was corrected about the Frank thing, he's trying to explain what Friday means. And he says, oh, that must be the reference of the book by Robert Louis Stevenson, you know. And he can't remember Robinson Crusoe. And he can't remember that Robert Louis Stevenson didn't write Robinson Crusoe. It's Daniel Defoe. He stinks. But Kevin has a goddamn point. And I agree. I'm a Kevin fan. Here's where he calls Terry the oldest. You gotta take out the oldest one, and I'm like, okay, well, whatever. But it was about, but he's got the American belt back again already. When did that happen? Terry had the belt.
I think he's. I don't know. I can never keep track of all these titles.
That's still, there's so much going on. Yeah,
it's still a thing. That's still a thing with these title changes that you're like, what? Because last time we watched, Terry Gordy had beaten him the American belt on TV.
Yeah.
And now they're saying, well, Kevin's got it back now. And they're talking about the fucking They keep putting over the point. It's like the young crown world champ bullshit. He's like, well, you know, if you just get rid of that stupid top rope rule, I'm the fucking champ. I'm like, well, sorry, there's rules, Von Erichs. But he said, he's like, you know, I knew I was always behind Kerry. I knew that. He literally says that.
Yeah.
He literally says, I know I'm behind Kerry, but I'm good. But, you know, this is my chance. And Bill Mercer says, well, you'll get another chance. And Kevin goes, well, yeah. Like, no, only at State Fair. Kevin, it's almost, this is like a shoot interview.
It's nuts. I think...
In Kevin's mind, it probably was.
Maybe.
Yeah, the way Kevin took, I think in 1984, it fucked Kevin up, and that's why he kind of pulled away from the business, because they gave the title shot to Kerry to avenge the death of David, and not the older brother Kevin. And I think it really hurt. I think that hurt him a lot.
Yeah, but you know, he would know that writing was on the wall. He knows it right here. You know, yeah. Probably pissed him off, but he already knew that was going to fucking happen, because he lays it on the line here. You know,
but I'm talking in '84. In his mind, I truly think he thought he should be the one.
He should have been the one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because he was the older brother.
Is it just me, or does Kevin seem like the youngest of the three?
He always does.
Yeah. He always does. I was surprised years later when I learned he was actually the oldest. Because I thought he was the youngest of the three.
Yep.
Because he got pushed like the youngest, you know?
Yeah.
It's because he looks so youthful because he didn't wear shoes. As Bill Mercer says that Kevin doesn't wear shoes later.
And he had that haircut.
And the I've been watching wrestling probably for decades before I literally found out, no, Kevin's the oldest one. What?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought he was the young. I thought exactly.
Yeah, I thought David was the oldest.
I thought David was the oldest, then Kerry, then Kevin.
Crazy.
Hey, shady baby, I'm hot like the prodigal son. Pick up at the leany, meany, money, moe, and flower, you're the chosen one.
All right, time to pay the bills. Check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore other podcasts, along with match reviews, features, and retrospectives, reviews of wrestling books, video games and matches, playlists, wrestler appearances in non-TV shows and movies, and more. You can also join the conversation by signing up at PWO forums. We've been online for over a decade with over 2,000 registered members and an archive of over 4 million, oh my god, million threads. Our message board is a vibrant community all its own, whether you want to talk about a specific match in our match discussion archive, take a deep dive in the Microscope forum, or discuss more general topics from wrestling's past and present. Check out all of this and more at www.prowrestlingonly.com. And this week on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, check out Strong Style Story, episode 47, Side A and Side B. Jeffrey and Chris are discussing on Side A the World Tag League, Road to the Tokyo Dome, massive Wrestle Kingdom 13 preview, going match by match and predicting the winners, and some other stuff like the beginning shows coming up in the new year, and one is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Big year ahead for New Japan, and the boys will break it down. Side B is the podcast's third anniversary special, and the boys are looking at basically the year in review for 2018 for New Japan Pro Wrestling, picking match of the year, matches of the year, actually, and much, much more. Check this out. This week on Greetings from Allentown with Peter Winson, he's looking at a WWF show from early 1991 during the build to WrestleMania 7 with Sergeant Slaughter as the Iraqi turncoat and all that. I think he maybe burns the American flag in this episode. So check that out. Always a great time. And, well, this is the final WorldCast of 2018. We're taking up a Christmas break. So on behalf of the boys, I just want to say Merry Christmas to all our listeners out there. Happy New Year, because we're not going to drop a show again until around New Year's Day. So check us out then. Just want to thank all our listeners for listening to us in 2018. We had a blast watching WCCW transform from a pretty poor promotion in 1982 to a red-hot promotion in 1983, and there's more great stuff to come. All right, and now it's time for...
And then we get this main event of Kevin Von Erich versus Terry Gordy. I really like this. What about you, Kelly?
Yeah, this was good. Huge heat, of course. So speaking of the title changes and all the confusion, during the match, Mercer mentioned that David has actually regained the Texas belt already.
Really?
I missed Jimmy Garvin.
Missed that. Are you? Oh, my God.
So that was a very short reign for Gorgeous Jimmy, although I do believe he gets the belt back in short order, but still.
Maybe they do title changes on both TV shows, and they just feel, and that's why it happens so often, they pop Fort Worth with title changes.
Yeah, this was in Fort Worth, too, because I looked it up. April 4th in Fort Worth was David winning the Texas belt back, so, yeah.
And that's where they had bigger shows, too, remember?
That's right.
Yeah,
because they didn't run Reunion regularly. It was just for special occasions.
Then you're going to want to give the big crowds of title changes, so I understand that.
Yeah. Both men worked on each other's legs to start. There was some really big Terry Gordy Georgia fans at ringside.
Yeah, they were. They sure were.
It was like three generations. It looked like a mother, daughter, and a granddaughter.
They were their rats. They're the fucking Freebirds rats. Because they had... Who else has the actual Georgia flag?
Yeah.
Except for the fucking Freebirds. They took that out of the back of that Freebird van after the Freebirds went to town on them. That's their pack of rats waving the actual flag of the Freebirds right there. They're chanting, go Terry, go. I thought they were chanting, go Carrie, go. And I'm like, what's going on? No, go Terry, go. Yep. That was cool.
Mm-hmm. And we have a pretty long mat sequence with Kevin working on Gordy's leg. And Gordy takes over with some nice offense. He's got like great suplexes. And besides being a great promo, he was really good in the ring at this time. He was just like overall really, really good. Struggle over the claw, and then this is when Hayes comes down to ringside. I thought maybe we had like a botched interference spot here, because Hayes interferes right in front of Manning, and then they do it again.
And
Kevin gets the pin on Gordy, and the first time it didn't. I think definitely they had to do this twice.
It was sweeping out a leg. It was sweeping out a leg or something.
Yeah.
Go right. And I blame it completely on David Manning, because Michael Hayes doesn't fuck shit up.
Yeah. But other than that, this was really pretty good. And also on the final pin, Gordy clearly pulls Kevin on top of himself.
Right.
So yeah, the ending was totally sloppy, but the match before that was
Kevin got confused. No, really it didn't go off the way it was supposed to. Kevin got confused, and the Freebirds said, "Nope, let's do this again, motherfuckers," and that meant Gordy had to pull Kevin right on top of him for that.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Oh, wow.
I gave 3.5 stars. I really like Gordy softening the leg, and I really like Kevin trying to counter with the neck crank. Gordy dropping a knee to the leg was really nasty. Kevin returns the favor, and he's working over on Gordy's leg. Crowd 100% is into this. Gordy tries the neck crank too. Kevin with a modified triangle here. Kevin eats his neck into the corner. Gordy now, he's more focusing on the neck. Gordy hooks on a bear hug. Kevin hits the claw and then he moves into the Gordio, goes into the abdominal claw. Fun finish with like kind of like the banana peel finish, but I liked it. And I really like the back and forth and the psychology and the mat work because when you think of Terry Gordy, you don't always think of mat work. But here, I mean, I thought they really had a good, strong mat work. And not only are they working holds, but they're trying to escape and fight. And there's like a real struggle to it. How do you feel about it, John?
Yeah, I thought the match was a blast. I loved watching these guys fucking wrestle fight. So I don't take notes on that. I just enjoy the match and write about the shit that entertains me. But what also entertains me is these two guys wrestling. And I totally dig. Like I said, Terry Gordy's awesome. Kevin's my favorite Von Erich. I enjoy their matches. I haven't been disappointed yet. Let's talk about Michael Hayes' fashion report. You want sleazy. He looked cool as hell last show. This show, he was in some sort of cutoff thing and with a hat and some shit. And looked even a little bit more sleazy, but he looked awesome. You know, the goddamn, he was biker cool last time. He's kind of pimpy sleazy here. Just fantastic. And they cut a promo, you know, at the end, basically saying, the next time, man, someone's getting carried out of here. Now, we've had it. You know, they're upping the feud, so to speak. It's like, the next time, you know, we're going to, you know, someone's going to get carried out of here on a stretcher. So we'll see where it goes. I know, we get a lot of matches between these guys. So there's...
honestly, I think during when we were working on the World Class set, I think we nominated like 12 singles matches.
Uh-huh.
Only one made the set because they were like so similar and so many of them.
Right, I understand. It was one of the shortest of the sets. With a lot of the sets I never finished of the World Class one, I was zippity doo dah right through it. So that explains why. But I love this match. I thought it was fantastic. And after that promo. A great fucking promo with the Freebirds explaining in the heel way why it's not fair that they won. The tights were pulled and this, that, and the other. And fucking Bill Mercer goes, well, some of you, if you heard those comments, would notice some incongruity in the comments of Michael Hayes. I was like, if Mark Lawrence can't get here soon enough. At this point, I'm not even finding Bill Mercer fun anymore.
Oh, that is terrible. Nothing fun about him. It's
terrible.
Just knowing that he's going to be the commentator every week going forward for forever. It's just depressing. There's no reprieve. Long prison sentence.
Well, Lorenz is the announcer at the first parade of champions.
That's right.
I figured that meant that's when Mercer goes. Am I wrong?
I think Mercer's
Mercer's around all the way to like almost 87.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's a long, long stretch.
Oh boy. Okay.
No parole.
that's great to hear. Happy holidays.
What do you think of the promo, Kelly?
Yeah, this is good stuff. Yeah, I mean, they got to get their heat back because they've been taking a lot of losses, especially Gordy. He's jobbing like crazy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't affect them at all.
Matter.
No.
It's a phenomena that people watching modern wrestling now don't understand. And it doesn't always work, but for some reason in World Class at this time, didn't fucking matter. Lose all the time, but everything's still so hot, and they get their heat back. However they get their heat back, doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's the thing. They know how to get the heat back.
Yep.
Yeah.
They know how to run a little angle afterwards to get the heat back.
Yeah, or just a promo to say the right thing in a promo. And the loss is totally forgotten. And losses, I mean, yes, they mattered at the time, of course, but... It's just
this would be akin to if with the Hot Horseman Dusty era,
right?
All the house shows were being shown on TV, and the Horsemen never won a fucking match, but they always got their heat back. You just see highlights. Here we're seeing the matches with that philosophy, and when they're as talented as the Freebirds and maybe even the Candyman, you can do that shit and stay hot.
And then, you know, and then the big money feud is the 6-man tag. That's the money
true. Here. Yes. Yeah.
And exactly. So all the little other because they on the six man's they pass it back and forth. And then singles matches, you could, you know, it's almost like a fuck you type of thing.
Yeah. There's, well, as we know, there's a lot. A lot left in this feud.
Oh, yeah.
Barely got started.
Right.
Yeah, barely started.
So it kind of even makes sense if you think about it, like, well, we're trading titles now. Because we're all in the title hunt and we're all equally leveled. So it makes sense individual titles go back and forth a little bit. It's not the worst thing. Yeah, maybe I don't mind the hot-shotting of titles, but it's the hot-shotting of titles between people who I want to watch wrestle.
So, yeah.
Instead of the way they used to do it with guys like Hussein and what have you.
Right, right. Overall, I thought this was a better show than the one last week.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And two big debuts, Adams and Kamala. Yeah. It was a good show.
And Chavo.
And Chavo, too. Yeah, right. Three debuts.
This is a better show than last week's show in more ways than one. I'm just saying.
69
is divine.
What you got to plug, Kelly?
I got nothing to plug other than to wish our listeners a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And a Feliz Navidad.
Oh, right.
Yes, they're a good one. Yes.
Kelly? I mean, Johnny?
No respect. They get no respect at all. No, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody. Hope everything stays groovy for you. And again, watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Prime. It's tremendous. It'll make you feel happy in the holiday season.
Follow me on Twitter at Titus O'Wrestling. Have a great week. Happy Hanukkah. Shalom. Oh, yes. The whole nine yards. Have a good one.
We have no jingle bells or sleigh to display on Christmas Day. For there's no snow down Texas way, but we sure mean it when we say Merry Texas Christmas, you all. Merry Texas Christmas, you all. May your days be sunny and bright. May your hearts be happy and light. Merry Texas Christmas, you all.
Merry Texas Christmas, you all. Merry Texas Christmas, you all.
May your days be sunny and bright. May your hearts be happy and light. Merry Texas Christmas, you all.